You won't ever wish that you could go back in time and change anything when you shop on Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast. Whenever you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino here for what should be a very exciting adventure through the history of Survivor. First off, let me set up who is going to be joining me today for this exciting adventure through space and time. Here is great friend of the podcast. You've heard him many, many times before, and it's his damn birthday on the day we're recording this. It's Kaz Kozdrowski. Kaz, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Like you said, it's my damn birthday. Glad to be back on the show. I'm excited. Me and my extreme ways are back again. So I think we're going to take this to some extreme places that we didn't even know were possible.
Good. Well, this is technically the Survivor preseason. We are on our countdown down to the start of Survivor 31. But this is much more of an off-season podcast and maybe one of the wackier ideas that we've ever attempted, but one that we've been kicking around for quite some time since we started doing off-season podcasts about a year ago. So today, we are going to be calling this the Quantum Leap Through Survivor. Can you set up a little bit of what we're going to be doing here today?
Yeah, so I think we're just going to take a look back at some big moments in Survivor history, things that were crucial, very crucial moments, and then we're going to change history and see if how the rest of the entire season and even the series itself would change. So we're going to go through a lot of hypothetical scenarios. You're probably going to want your yellow legal pads handy to kind of track the crazy paths we go down. But I think it should be a fun exercise in just making up our own fan fiction and then seeing what everybody thinks about it.
Now, for the uninitiated, while we're talking about Quantum Leap, Quantum Leap is a show that was on NBC during the early part to the mid-90s, and it starred Scott Bakula as a guy who was a scientist who was in the midst of an experiment, and in that experiment, he was ending up traveling through time, and the way that that worked is that he would quantum leap into another person's body. And so he would like quantum leap, but they had to be alive during his lifetime. So he would end up like quantum leaping into a woman in the 60s, and she was going to be at somewhere that was really important, and her boss was going to be whatever. And so he had to eventually prevent whatever was going to happen and change the future for the better. And then each episode, he would leap into the next person. So we are going to be bouncing all through Survivor history. Once I step into the Survivor Quantum Leap machine, Kaz is going to be my guide throughout this journey. He is going to be like the character of Al on Quantum Leap, the guy who knew everything that was going to happen and had sort of like a colorful iPhone before that was even invented, and he used to like bang on it all the time. And so we are going to leap from place to place, talk about if we change certain things, what would happen, and whether or not we should be making these changes as we go.
Yeah, and it's perfect that I'm Al, because like you said, Al knows everything, and that's perfect since I know everything as well. But I'm sure there will be some things that you disagree with, so I figure you can either open or pass on the plausibility of each of these quantum leaps. You know, that'll sort of be Rob's dilemma here.
Yes.
And I'm sure there will be times where you think, you know, I'll say that's impossible. But, you know, maybe other times you'll agree with me, and I think it should be a fun little ride through Survivor history.
Yeah, because I'm going to be quantum leaping into these different people, and then I will decide whether or not to change Survivor history for the better or for the worse before we move on to the next one. And each time, I will be hoping that the next leap will be the leap home. Okay? You ready to play? Ready to get into this?
You want to start? I'm ready to start.
So I'm just going to hop into this time machine that I've been building. You know, a lot of people have been saying like, Rob, you've been so busy with the, you know, evolution of strategy and making all these podcasts. Well, I also have a pet project that I've been working on, and it's a time machine.
That's perfect. And now that you've done 30 seasons of the evolution of strategy, we're going to go back and change all those things. So you have to record 30 more seasons.
No, that was why I had to study Survivor history, because I can't go back in time into Survivor without knowing everything that's happened. So that was really the selfish reason why I did this whole Survivor rewatch, was just to get me ready for my time travel experiments.
Rob, you know, we have to go back.
Yes.
We have to go back.
We have to go back. So, all right, Kaz, I'm going to step into the machine and we'll get started. What do you have planned for your damn birthday?
I am podcasting like any other normal 20-year-old man would do. And then I might have a drink or two for my damn birthday.
Okay, good. Good. Because, you know,
you better relax, bro.
You got to relax, bro, on your damn birthday.
Maybe I'm going to send Rodney a snap or two. I hear he's very into getting those snaps recently.
Yes, he's into getting the snaps. You know, I made my Snapchat where anybody could send me snaps for like 10 minutes earlier today, and it was regrettable.
Yes, that is not surprising. You need to quantum leap back and change that decision.
I had it set up where only my friends could send me Snapchat, and then I turned it off, and then it was just like in the course of like 20 minutes. So I was like, this is okay. I'm back, back inside the gate. Of only my friends could send me a Snapchat.
Okay. I have to say, you are a fantastic Snapchatter. So if I can't imagine there's anybody out there who is not following you that is listening to this, but if so, definitely follow Rob on Snapchat.
All right. Well, thank you. You're too kind. All right. So let me get into the Quantum Leap machine. Here we go. Let me see. How do you turn this on? Oh, wait. It's not working like a... Okay. So is this button? This wire? Let me... What happens if I touch this? If I do... Oh, wait. Oh, that felt weird. Wait, hold on. So where am I right now?
Where are we? I think we are all the way back in Borneo. It is season one of Survivor.
I don't have a mirror in front of me. Who am I?
I think you are a fairly well-known person. I think you are actually Kelly Wigglesworth.
Oh, boy.
Yes. And you look great.
Thank you.
And I think it looks like we're right at the point where we're at the final four of Borneo, and you have just had a deadlocked vote. It's you and Rudy Sue and Rudy getting each one vote, and now it's time to revote.
Okay. Now nobody can see you, right? You're a hologram, correct?
I am a hologram, yes.
Okay. Good. Boy, look at that treasure chest of cash right there.
It's so close.
So what am I doing here? What, I'm just going to walk off with that treasure chest of cash?
No, you know, I think when you're getting ready to cast your next vote here, I think rather than switching your vote to vote out Sue, I think you should keep the vote the same and keep things deadlocked.
All right. Well, before I do that, what would happen if I did that?
You know, I think if you did that, based on the tiebreaker rules of Survivor at the time, there would be a rock draw like we saw in Marquesas, which would mean Rich and Rudy each had a 1 in 3 chance of going home along with Sue. So you would actually have the advantage since you're immune.
Now, are we assuming that the Survivor tiebreak rules in the first season are the same as they are in Marquesas and not any sort of previous vote tiebreak rules?
Kelly, I know all things. I am Al. I know all of the rules and I am 100% sure these are the rules.
100% sure those are the rules?
150%.
Well, why were the rules different in the future and not the same? We're in the past.
No, these are the same rules as Marquesas, so I believe they carry over up until after Marquesas.
So if there was a tie at the final six, it would be previous votes?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, so this is the tie at final four. Why do they change it at four?
I think you're going to have to ask Mark Burnett about that one.
Okay. All right, so we'll just go with that.
Yes.
If it was previous votes, who has more previous votes, Rich or Sue?
I believe that would be Richard. I am not 100% sure on that.
Interesting. Okay. So I'm going to draw rocks here.
No. So you are, well, yes, you are going to keep the same vote and vote for Rich, but you actually will not be the one physically drawing the rock because you have immunity.
Oh, okay.
So you now have a 2 in 3 chance of Sue not getting eliminated because of the rock, and that will set you up in very good position for the final three.
Yeah. Now, do I want to work with Sue? I feel like I have some tension with Sue right now.
You do have some tension, but I think if you're looking for the $1 million prize and trying to get it in the most rational way possible, this is probably your best decision, Kelly.
So I'm going to try to go with Sue, and then we're going to vote out Rudy.
Yes, you are going to vote Rudy, and what do you know, Rudy gets the bad rock.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So now you're in the final three with Rich and Sue.
Look at me.
And Just like we saw in the original version, your slender feet help you win that immunity challenge, and you get to select who goes to the finals with you.
Now, before I do any of this, I just want to talk this through. I'm not ready to cast my vote yet in the tiebreak. I got to see how this all plays out before I make this decision.
That is true.
Right, Al?
Yes, that is correct.
All right, so then, okay, so then tomorrow, I'll go through that, and then when Rich takes his hand off the paw, then I'll win immunity again.
Yes, and okay. And then I would think it becomes a very easy decision for you of taking out Richard and taking Sue, who is probably less likely to beat you in the finals.
So what jury votes does Sue have?
I'm not sure that Sue has any votes.
Yeah, oh wow.
This is good. I mean, you may tell me, as someone who knows a guy named Rob Cesternino who played with Sue, that she was a lovely person and great to be around, but I have a feeling that Kelly was very respected by a lot of the Pagong members, and I think the fact that she would have stuck to her word makes it very likely that someone like Rich and Rudy would probably vote for her in the final as well.
Well, no, I sense that Rudy and Rich would probably stick with Sue. I think that they would end up being votes in Sue's favor. It really all comes down to what are Greg and Sean doing. And I think that there is some tension between Sean and Kelly. So even hypothetically, I do think that Sean would probably vote for Kelly over Sue. And I think that Greg probably would also. I think we're looking at a 5-2 Wigglesworth victory in Borneo for Kelly over Sue.
I believe so. And unfortunately, that means we never get a snakes and rats speech because Sue is not on the jury to give the speech.
Well, that's not good.
That is not good. So I do wonder in this scenario that even though you as Kelly are going to win in this scenario, is this actually a bad thing? Because unfortunately, without all these major events that we see happen in the original Borneo finale, there's a pretty good chance that Survivor is not as popular if you win the season.
Yeah. And then Kelly Wigglesworth can't come back to Survivor. Then Richard Hatch comes back to Survivor in Survivor Second Chance.
Yes.
And Richard Hatch probably comes back. Although this has a lot of long-term ramifications. One, who knows about the lasting health of Survivor? I feel like this has a lot of ramifications heading into Survivor Australia in terms of what those players are thinking about who won the first Survivor season. And are people trying to play like Kelly? Is that the optimal strategy going forward? I think that Kelly Wigglesworth is now a lock for the cast of Survivor All-Stars, no?
Yes, absolutely.
And I don't know if Sue Hawk is. So maybe Kelly Wigglesworth is on my tribe.
Yes, I think that's a very distinct possibility.
Sue Hawk minus the snakes and rats speech. I mean, she was very iconic, but I don't know. I mean, you're going to have Sue Hawk, who didn't even give the snakes and rats speech. You're going to have the winner of that season.
I think you got to have the winner.
I think you got to have the winner. And now Kelly Wigglesworth is on my tribe? Or is she on Mogo Mogo?
I believe she swaps directly with Sue there.
Oh, my God.
And I'm getting so confused when you say you, because you're supposed to be Kelly Wigglesworth.
I'm still me. I'm just in Kelly Wigglesworth's body.
Yes.
I don't know what's so complicated about this.
Absolutely nothing.
And so then how does that change Survivor All-Stars? I guess that's really not that big of a change unless you think that Kelly Wigglesworth, I mean, she's a winner. She's probably getting voted out early, but I'm probably not getting voted out.
I think there's a chance that she ends up getting voted out before Rob Cesternino.
Oh, wow. So now this changes everything.
Yes, it does.
Now what happens? Then I win Survivor All-Stars?
Oh, that's the only logical
thing. No, be serious with me, Kaz. Don't toy with me.
No, I think Boston, Rob, and Amber probably still
okay, so they still
All-Stars.
They still win, but I go further. I get voted out Alicia or gets voted out?
No, I think you make it 3 days further.
Okay.
I think they throw the next challenge to get you out.
They throw a challenge. Once Jenna Lewis and Rupert gets there, they throw a challenge to get rid of me.
Absolutely.
Okay, good. All right, just making sure. So then, that being said, so how does Kelly Wigglesworth fare? Does she end up going out around the time that... Because Sue Hawk basically quits.
Yes, so then we don't have Grindgate. And so I think there's a decent chance that Kelly Wigglesworth doesn't quit, but I think she is probably the first person voted out of that tribe.
Yeah, you think so? Because what ultimately would happen would be that instead of Sue Hawk quitting, you have Shapira throwing a challenge to get rid of me in that spot. So the numbers would still work out the same.
Yes.
And then I walk off and I'm like, I'm humiliated, Jeff. Like, I'm emotionally spent, Jeff. Not sorta. So I'm very upset about that whole bit.
Does that mean that you rub up against Richard? Is that the scenario here?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so. And so then, boy, interesting. So Kelly is like out, like she's like goes out like the first time that they have a chance because she's still a winner. They're going to get rid of her.
Right.
Okay. So, and Richard Hatch, does he get voted out for being a winner? Or is Richard Hatch still around Mogo Mogo?
I think there's a decent chance that Richard Hatch does not get voted out in this scenario.
See, I think that changes everything there because I think that Mogo Mogo ends up losing because they vote out Richard Hatch. I feel like that Boston Rob and Amber aren't going to win the Survivor All-Stars now.
I don't know if I totally buy that, but I think
Hatch is such a big game fish that Lex and Colby and these guys want to take him out. I mean, is Hatch an all-star? He probably is, right?
Yes, he definitely is.
Okay.
And I think he's still equally cocky. He just doesn't have the winner thing behind
him. Right. So, I mean, if Hatch hasn't won, does he have that target on him? And can then the Avengers that I talk about in the evolution of strategy of then could Colby, Lex, Rich, Kathy, could they function together as an alliance?
I'm not sold on that personally. No, I think Colby maybe ends up being the first person out instead. But I think, Richard's,
why would they vote him out?
Cause he was a big threat. Obviously he was very well liked from his season. And I think, he was obviously targeted still pre-merge in that season. So I think he would be a big target.
Cause I'm just telling you this, if Richard Hatch is still around, that tribe, when they switch over, isn't keeping Amber around.
Oh, that's true. That is very true.
So, I don't know. This totally changes the Survivor All-Stars. And then who's coming back for Survivor Second Chance?
Oh, it's got to be Teresa Cooper.
T-Bird Cooper. So no, then nobody from Borneo was even in the mix for Second Chance.
I believe that's true.
So are we saying that this is all better for Survivor?
I personally don't think so, because I'm not sure that we get to Survivor Second Chance in this scenario. I think Richard Hatch being the iconic person of Survivor is a big reason why it's still on the air today. So even though things would be better for Kelly Wigglesworth in this scenario, I'm not sure that they're better overall for the universe.
I don't think so, Kaz. So I'll tell you what. I'm going to get up there and I'm going to go write down Sue on that paper. I'm going to vote Sue Hawk off here at the Final Four.
You are a selfless person, Kelly Wigglesworth, and that's why we're going to bring you back 30 seasons later.
Okay. And you agree with this?
I do agree with
changes
that.
Changes too much and not for the good.
Absolutely.
Okay. We are not changing anything else here.
I think we're back.
Wait, I wanted to talk to Rudy.
Oh, go for it.
He's gone. Where am I now?
I think now it looks like, wait, what is this? Is this Survivor Australia?
Oh, okay.
And you're, is that Mike Scoopin over there? I think that's who I see.
Wow. Mike Scoopin.
Yes.
Wow. What's he doing?
You know, he's tending to the fire and it's about day 18 and what's he doing? Oh no. I think he's about ready to inhale some smoke and fall in the fire.
All right. Oh no. Who am I?
Well, you're Mike Scoopin.
I'm Mike Scoopin.
Yes.
Oh boy. So I have to not fall in the fire right now.
I think you're starting to get a little woozy here. Or maybe, how about your Jeff Varner instead?
Okay. All right. And now I'm Jeff Varner. Oh, boy.
Jeff, do you see Mike over there?
I sure do.
I think you better rescue him. I think he might be getting ready to fall into the fire here.
Wait, hold on. But he's my big competition for this game. Maybe he falls in the fire. That could be good for me.
I don't know. It's a tough choice. I think maybe we should think about the ramifications.
Okay. Well, let's think this through. I think we know how this is going to go if Mike does fall in the fire. What if Mike Scoopin doesn't fall in the fire, Al?
I think...
How does that change the world? Does that make things better or worse?
I think we're going to have to think this through and figure it out.
Okay.
I think if Mike Scoopin doesn't fall in the fire here, you guys stand a very decent chance as Kucha of winning this upcoming immunity challenge.
Yeah,
and
I think so.
And if you do that, then you are up 6-4 heading into the merge.
Yeah, we're on a roll.
Yes. So that has major ramifications on the season here.
Yeah, it does.
So I think that there is a very good chance if you pick Mike up and make sure he doesn't injure himself, that suddenly you are in the final six of Survivor Australia.
Yeah, I like how that sounds.
Definitely. And I think if you look at the way things are split up, you've got the more religious crew of Roger, Elizabeth, and Mike Scoopin on one side, and you've got Nick, Alicia, and you, Jeff Varner, on the other side. And I think there's a very good chance that you could take control of the game either at this vote or maybe even at the final seven before it. But I think in this scenario, there's a very good chance that Jeff Varner could win Survivor Australia if he saves Mike from falling in the fire.
So who got voted out of Ogacore? Jerry? Keith?
No, nobody got voted out of Ogacore.
Somebody's going to get voted out of Ogacore if we win the challenge today.
Oh, you're talking about... Yes, yeah, if you get voted out, then I believe Jerry would be the next one to
okay,
go.
Oh my God. So, then 6-4. So what am I doing? I'm going to vote with Alicia and Nick Brown?
Well, you're voting with all of your alliance members, or all of your tribe members at this point. But I think there's a very decent chance...
When we get to the final six, right. Who does Mike Scoopin have? He has Kentucky Joe and Elizabeth?
I think so, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to make something going. And okay, so now I'm... So what you're saying is that I've got a good shot to win as Jeff Varner in the final two against either Alicia or Nick Brown or somebody like that?
Yeah, I think it's a very easy scenario where, say, the last survivor of the other tribe is Amber. I think there's a very decent chance that you can use her to gain the advantage at seven and then vote her out at six. And it is Nick, Alicia, and you, Jeff Varner, in the final five. And from there, I think it's a pretty easy road for you to win the game.
Okay, so now I'm Jeff Varner, winner of Survivor. Who gets on second chance instead of Jeff Varner?
Well, I think that's got to be Shane Powers.
Shane Powers, okay. We always go back to this Survivor All-Stars. Now, Jeff Varner is a lock for Survivor All-Stars.
He is. And then who do you have to take out because of
that? I know who we're taking out.
Yes.
We're taking out who?
I think we got to take out Ethan.
Oh, Ethan?
Yes.
Hmm.
Who did you think it was going to be?
Well, I think we got to take out Colby.
Potentially. Depends on when he goes, but it's possible.
Yeah, I got to take out Colby. Got to take out Tina also. I mean, these people are like basically like, you know, eighth and ninth place of Survivor All-Stars.
Yes.
So maybe you have now, oh, wow, on Mogo, you have Jeff Varner and Richard Hatch.
That's going to be a scary thing.
That's crazy. I don't know. I might like the scenario better so far. So what else is different?
Well, I think if you look very far ahead in the future, then because Mike Scoopin was not injured, it would be very difficult for him to come back on an injured player season like the Philippines.
Oh, my God. So who comes back? Mike Barassi?
I think Mike Barassi is the obvious candidate.
Is it Mike Barassi or Papa Smurf?
I can't tell them apart.
Well, one's a mean motor scooter, and the other one eats snouts like he did it every day of his life.
Yes.
It's pretty obvious.
Yes. But I think in this scenario, if we take Mike Scoopin out of the picture in Survivor 25, I think Malcolm Freeburg has a very good chance to win that season.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's a injured player season. Like, I feel like I don't even know if we do that theme if it's no Mike Scoopin. I feel like built that theme around Mike Scoopin coming back.
Oh, no, I think you built it around Mike Barassi.
Around Mike Barassi. I mean, Russell Swan was big, and I think that they probably said, okay, you got Mike Scoopin, you got Russell Swan, who's the third person? Let's go. Penner is great. Let's bring him in. But I don't know if you have the idea for that season without Mike Scoopin.
It's possible, but I enjoy things so much more if Malcolm wins.
Okay, so you feel like that there's some sort of through line in the universe where whatever happened, and then so there's like... things don't change dramatically. They just all change a little bit. Like, for instance, like with Survivor All-Stars, when we make one change, like the person who comes in will always just take that person's spot. Like the tribes won't be radically different.
Yes, I think we could make those major changes, but then you and I are going to be in this quantum leap machine for the next 15 hours.
The butterfly effect would be too great. Right.
Yes. So in an attempt to keep it simple, then Malcolm wins season 25, which oddly enough, then means he is not on Survivor Karamoa.
Well, hold on. Just back up a second. Who is the third injured player that is going to be on Tandang?
Oh, wow.
Who is the third medevaced player?
Gosh.
Is it Colton? Does Colton come back for that?
I guess so. I think we can go with Colton.
Wow. Colton on Tandang. Does that make that the thirdly most unlikable tribe in Survivor history?
Without question.
Wow. Colton, Abby Maria, RC, Artis. Poor Lisa Welchel.
Yes. She'll be crying having a Survivor breakdown.
Pete Bro. Yes. All right. So talk about you take the good, you take the bad.
Yes.
The Tandang. Okay. So now... So Malcolm wins in Survivor Philippines.
Yes.
Is what we're saying. Okay.
And then he's not brought back the next season. And I think the obvious candidate to replace him is Jim Rice.
Now, okay. So Malcolm beats Denise in the final three. So it's Malcolm, Denise, and Lisa Welchel or something like that in the final three. Okay. So Jim Rice comes back to Survivor Karamoan?
Yeah, I mean, we've got to get Jim Rice back somehow, right?
I feel like it was Troyzan who Malcolm took his spot.
I hope to God that's not true.
Because we have so many South Pacific people already. That's already three South Pacific people on the cast. I feel like Troyzan was the guy who got bumped.
Rob, if we're trying to find a scenario that improves the history of Survivor, I don't think that includes bringing back
Troyzan. Well, we don't know if it does or not. That's what we're saying. I'm still trying to decide if Mike Scoopin should fall on the fire or not.
All right, then I guess
you
we're
have
bringing
to
back
live
Troyzan.
With the fact if I save Mike Scoopin, Troyzan is on Survivor Karamoan.
I don't know if I can live with that, but okay, we can go with it.
Yeah, this is his island too. So how do you like that?
I don't like
and
it.
And then Troyzan wins Survivor Karamoan.
Oh, and then I stop watching Survivor.
No, if you were going to sub, I mean, would Troyzan end up fitting in with the Stealth R Us? I feel like he would be sort of like, I feel like he'd be siding more with the Franny, Brandon Hance, Eric Reichenbach crew.
Yeah, I think so. Or maybe he becomes an amigo in some sort of weird way.
Yeah, so the amigos become some sort of like pseudo roosters.
Yes, exactly.
Hmm. Interesting. So Troyzan ends up leading the Roosters in Reynolds and Eddie. Is he aligned with Corinne in that game?
No, I don't believe so.
All right. So Malcolm's a winner. So he doesn't come back. And then we have... So does Cochran still win Karamoan?
I think in this scenario, Cochran still wins Karamoan.
Okay, but this changes up Survivor Second Chance quite a bit because we have to fill Jeff Varner's spot and we have to fill Troyzan's spot.
Well, we don't have to fill Troyzan's spot.
Well, somebody was going to be in the pool of whatever, 32.
Well, we can give it to, I don't know, John Cody, who wasn't going to make it.
John Cody, okay.
But I do think that Jeff Varner is replaced by you, Mike Scoopin.
Oh, Mike Scoopin gets on Survivor Second Chance.
I think so. And the interesting thing that connects with that then is if Mike Scoopin
All this time that I've been waiting for my chance to play again, I thought I'd be too late, Larry.
Oh, man.
Wow. I can't believe I finally have a second chance. So Mike Scoopin is on Survivor Second Chance. All right. How does this work out?
Well, I think the other interesting piece then is there's a decent chance that if Jeff Varner is not in the pool, then neither is Kimmy Kappenberg.
Hmm. If Jeff Varner, well, I'm not sure. Why does that affect Kimmy Kappenberg?
I think Kimmy was probably on the list in part because of her issue with Jeff Varner and them trying to hash that out.
I don't know. To me, I think it just speaks to that Survivor Australia was watched by 40 million people a week. And they're like, well, let's see if we can bring any of those 40 million people back to watching this show. I think that everybody from Survivor Australia is getting a chance at some point to play again.
Even Mad Dog?
I hope so.
Can we put her on instead of Kimmy?
What, are you anti-Kimmy, Kaz?
No, I'm not anti-Kimmy. I just
don't.
I
all don't... you KKs need to stay together?
What was that? Two Ks? Yes.
Double Ks.
Yes. No, we're not sticking together on this one. But she, for the interest of simplicity, we can leave her on the ballot.
Now, hold on. Now, does this mean that Tina isn't on Survivor Blood versus Water?
I think so. I think she is not famous enough to be on Blood versus Water.
Oh, wow. And who took her spot? Who took her spot in Survivor All-Stars?
Oh, God.
T-Bird.
Yeah, that'll work.
Good. And then who took T-Bird's spot in the Survivor Second Chance pool?
Mad Dog.
Mad Dog. Oh! This is great. Yeah. I don't know. You're talking me into this. So Jeff Varner wins Survivor Australia. I feel like Survivor is like so much more strategic now, where everybody's like, oh man, if you want to win Survivor, you got to really be somebody who's wheeling and dealing like Richard Hatch and Jeff Varner. I think Ethan's probably not going to win Survivor Africa.
I would agree with that.
I think that who's going to win Survivor Africa?
I think it would be Lex or Tom.
Yeah. One of those guys is going to win. And then, boy, does a woman ever win Survivor? Does Vesepia win? This makes us very male-driven winners.
Yeah, I think we get a woman at some point. Maybe we get somebody even in season 3 that would have been completely different.
Yeah.
So, Mike Scoopin, do you want to be the bandage man or do you not want to be the bandage man?
Well, I'm Jeff Varner, so I really have to decide this.
Jeff Varner, do you want Mike Scoopin to be the bandage man or not?
Well, I think I kind of do. Can you see any major disadvantage to doing this?
No, I see absolutely zero if you're Jeff Varner.
Yeah, well, I'm not Jeff Varner. I'm Rob Cesternino in Jeff Varner's body.
But you
in
want to have
November of 2000.
Well, yes, but I think you want the best for him.
I want the best for the world, Kaz. That's my mission.
And I think Jeff Varner winning a season of Survivor is great for the universe.
But what if Jeff Varner is going to go on to play like the greatest game ever in Survivor Second Chance and provides like this Survivor Renaissance, which ultimately changes everything and keeps Survivor on the air another 30 years?
I don't think we can change the future or know what the future holds. And so I think we have to evaluate it based on what we've seen so far.
You know what, Kaz? I'm going to say that everything is fine as it is. I don't think we need to have Mike's. I think that there could be some unforeseen butterfly effect that happens. That I think that we are fine with leaving time and history as it is. I don't think that we should save Mike Scoopin. I think we should let him fall into the fire.
Wow.
In fact, I think we should push him.
I don't think we should push him in the fire. But that is very nice of you.
Yes. Are you prepared to let Mike Scoopin fall in the fire?
It is out of my control. I'm the all-knowing person who cannot control this, so this is your decision.
Oh, he's tipping over. Mike, don't breathe in all that smoke, Mike. Mike, you gotta be careful over there. Be careful. Go easy. Go easy, buddy. Uh-oh. I know. I had to leave well enough alone there. Survivor is fine. I'm too excited for Jeff Varner on Second Chance.
Well, I wonder if you're going to change any of these now, because Survivor is perfectly fine now, but who knows what would have
been. I don't know. We haven't found anything that I feel like is going to greatly. I'm only going to change stuff. This is like the NFL, where I'm going to look under the hood, and unless I have irrefutable video evidence, I'm going to let the call stand.
Well, maybe this scenario will change your mind.
You think I should have changed that? You think I should have went back?
I think Jeff Varner winning a season of Survivor, whether it's now or
it still
season
might happen.
Two, is great. I think it's great for the world, though.
Okay. All right. Where am I now? Where am I?
I think you are Lex Vandenberg in season 8 Survivor All-Stars.
Oh, boy.
And I think it's the final 10.
Yes.
And you've just won the challenge, and Boston Rob is looking over at you, and he's saying, you better save her.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you're going to do this.
Well, I think that Rob has just said to me, you take care of her, I'll take care of you. Like, if you can. Like, okay, well, I certainly could. I certainly could. I don't know if I would. So, this is very interesting. Do I save Amber?
This will be the easiest thing we discuss.
Yeah. Well, how do things change?
I think they change in drastic, drastic ways, Lex.
All right. So
I think there's a very decent chance that if you vote out Amber, then you are able to flip Big Tom at the merge.
Yes.
And I think the final five ends up being you, Lex, along with Kathy, Tom, Jerry, and Sheehan.
And then what do we do then? We vote out Sheehan and we vote out Jerry. Lex, Kathy, Tom, final three.
I think the Lex, Kathy, Tom thing makes a lot of sense. Both Tom and Kathy would take you to the finals. Basically, you can just triple bunker rush every single person in the season and you'll crush it. I think you win in pretty much every single scenario once you get there.
Okay. So we're saying that Lex wins Survivor All-Stars. That is what would ultimately happen at this point.
Yes. And not only that, but I think history changes in that Lex is a bad case of diarrhea away from being the first two-time winner in Survivor.
Wow. And he also won in the Mike Scoopin Doesn't Fall in the Fire universe.
He's winning all over the place.
All right, so Lex wins Survivor All-Stars. Are Rob and Amber married?
That's the big question, because Amber does not make the jury, and Boston Rob has to sit in Ponderosa for 20 days.
Hmm. And he doesn't meet anybody else at Ponderosa, right? I think that they still find a way.
I hope so, because you would hate to change all of that from
right.
Survivor.
But they're not going on The Amazing Race.
That's true.
And now The Amazing Race history has changed.
Well, I think we're okay with that.
That's a different podcast. Okay, so I'm Lex now, and all I have to do is not save Amber. Boy.
Now, I think this changes something else in the future as well, where because you're this iconic winner of Survivor All-Stars, you, Lex, also come back for Heroes versus Villains, and Boston Rob does not. In effect, you replace the Boston Rob legacy with the Lex legacy in Survivor history.
So Lex comes back as a villain in Survivor Heroes versus Villains.
Yes.
Does Lex feud with Russell Hance?
Oh, God, yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And so does Lex fall victim to the same fate that Boston Rob falls victim to in Survivor Heroes versus Villains?
I think that is up for debate.
See, I feel like in that tribe, I think that Lex is getting along a lot better with people like Jerry and Randy and people like that. I think Randy's not the first one out there.
Definitely not.
Hmm. I think Parvati is out first there.
I think there's a very good chance that Parvati is out first.
Oh my God.
Well, and I think there's a very good chance that Sandra does not win again.
And Lex wins again?
No, I don't think Lex wins again, but I think Lex's key people all end up making a strong push to the end.
Who are Lex's key people? Is Tyson one of the key people?
I don't know if Tyson is. I think Randy definitely is, and I could see him getting along with Courtney in a weird sort of way.
Lex and Courtney?
I can see that.
Hmm. Okay.
And Jerry.
I mean, Heroes versus Villains is a really awesome season. I feel like we're making some major wholesale changes to this.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're changing more than that, too, when you think about how Lex is viewed as the Boston Rob today. You're also changing Survivor Redemption Island, which I'm pretty sure is a perfect
season. We're not even
season.
There yet. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, does Lex get into a huge rivalry with Russell Hance?
I think so.
I feel like Russell Hance is out a lot earlier in that season.
I think he's out second after Parvati.
Yeah, I think so. Because once you take his number away in Parvati, Parvati gets voted out, and then Russell Hance gets voted out. Double D's not going to be long after that. So Russ, the legend of Russell Hance is not nearly what it was. You probably don't get a Brandon Hance on Survivor.
What a shame.
Okay, so it's okay. So we're doing some good work here.
Yes.
Now, you don't have Redemption Island, which is considered by many to be a really not great season. Because you're not going to come back and do it, what, Lex versus Russell Hance?
I don't think so.
No.
And maybe then Redemption Island never even comes into effect as an idea.
Okay. So we never even have Redemption Island.
Right. And that seems like a good thing.
That seems like a good thing. Do we still have a blood versus water, but just not without Redemption Island?
I think we have it without Redemption Island.
Yeah. Does anybody ever say F you, Brad Culpepper?
I hope so.
Boy. This is weird. I do feel like Survivor got a lot of mileage out of the Rob and Amber stuff.
It is a tough decision.
Yeah.
But I actually don't think it's a tough decision.
Did fans like the Survivor All-Star season where Lex won?
I think so.
Yeah. What did they like about it?
I don't think many people liked the Survivor All-Stars where Amber won, so this could only be better, I would think.
Yeah.
I think we get a replay of the Tom and Lex friendship. I think that ends up being a major focal point. I think this is a really good thing for Survivor, actually.
I feel like, does Rob make a big fuss in on the way out?
Yes.
I feel like then maybe we're missing the third Rob Mariano appearance. Like, maybe is he back also?
No, I don't think he ever comes back in these scenarios.
Oh, wow. Well, how does it hurt the legacy of Rupert?
Does Rupert have a legacy?
Does Rupert still win America's Tribal Council?
Of course.
Yes. Even if he comes in eighth place in Survivor All-Stars?
There is no plausible scenario that we're going to talk through that has anything but Rupert winning $1 million for free.
Boy. I mean, it'd be interesting to see how this plays out. I mean, I think it might be a fun thought experiment. I mean, I haven't come up with the biggest reason not to do it yet.
I think the only reason you could come up with is that you don't have specifically Boston Rob, but he is replaced by Lex in the future. And I think Lex is a fairly big character. You know, I personally like Boston Rob more, but I think Lex is an entertaining TV character. And so even though we don't get historic levels of Boston Rob, I think the franchise is much better as a whole.
My biggest concern is that we're messing up too much heroes versus villains. And now we're taking away the potentially top three most iconic season from the franchise. And what does the franchise look like if heroes versus villains is not received as a big hit by everybody?
So we lose heroes versus villains, but we also lose Redemption Island. So I feel like that balances out.
Okay. Sure, let's do it.
Perfect.
Let's do it. And now what? Now where are we now?
I think we've jumped ahead all the way to...
Oh, so now we're out?
I think we're out.
Okay. All right. Congratulations, Lex, winner of Survivor All-Stars. There you go.
Congratulations.
All right. There you go, Lex. Congratulations. Oh, wait. Hold on. It stings a little bit every time that does happens.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, where am I now?
I think we are sunbaying on the islands of Cook Islands 1, of course.
Ooh, Cook Islands 1.
Yes, and you are Jonathan Penner.
Oh, boy.
And I think we are at the point of the final nine when Yule shows you his immunity idol.
Yeah.
The question is, do you make the flip or do you not make the flip?
Is that's final nine when that happens?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. So I could stick with the four people from the I2, right? The I2-4. Or I could stick with these bunch of psychos that are over there with Candace and with Adam and with Parvati and with Nate. And so that's my choice right now. So, So what's the upside for me? So what do I want to do?
Well, let me pitch this to you, John.
Okay. All right.
So your goal happened to be to align with the idol and make it to the final four. But there's this lovely gentleman in your season named Cowboy who came up with a way to work around the idol, come up with split votes, and neutralize it. So here is my suggestion to you and how I think this could play out. If you tell Yule that you will vote with him, but then you and the other remaining people that you're with all vote for Becky, then Becky goes out 5-4 in that vote. Ozzy doesn't win immunity the next time. He is out. Now you're at the final seven, and there's five of you and two of the I2s. You can now split the vote. That way, you put three on Yule, two on Sundra, and they vote two on your group. Yule has to play the idol to save himself. Sundra goes home. Now Yule is idolless, and you can vote him out at the next vote. And suddenly, you, Jonathan Penner, are in the final five with four allies that you haven't pissed off.
This is interesting, although you're asking Jonathan Penner to be somewhat omniscient at a point when he is not.
That is true, but I have faith in Jonathan Penner.
Well, thank you, Kaz. I appreciate that. I'm happy to have your support.
But always that being said, for instance, like this whole thing with Plan Voodoo, pretty sure Cowboy never told that plan to Jonathan Penner because I believe that Jonathan Penner was Cowboy's target.
That is true. I'm hoping that this makes its way through the grapevine or maybe Penner figures it out on his own because he is a smart guy.
But here's the thing, that it's not Penner. It's me. And I know Plan Voodoo and it's my brain, my essence in Penner's body. So, that being said, I could do whatever I want, and I don't need to know all of these things
because I can do them because somebody else is in control of my body.
Fair enough. I see that that could be bollocks, but I will agree with it.
So this is going to be potentially where are you saying that we are going to come up with a scenario where Penner wins Survivor Cook Islands? Because it feels like that seems like a bit of a long shot.
Let me just talk through it. So if you're in the final five with your group, you know that you, Jonathan Penner, do not like Nate. And Nate is aligned with Parvati.
I don't like Nate.
Nate is not good. So you vote out Nate, and you vote out Parvati. And now you are in the final three with Adam and Candace. Now, I am not sure that you, Jonathan Penner, actually win. I think there is a pretty decent chance that Dr. Candace is the winner. But I think the interesting part of this is that if you or Candace win, then the mutiny that you had several votes before is suddenly looked at as the most brilliant strategic move in Survivor history.
Yeah.
Do you want to be a rebel, or do you want to be the loyalist who flips back to your original alliance and wins the game because of it? Or Candace wins the game because of it? But I think one of you probably wins the season.
You know, my biggest problem with this is that now Adam and Candace are now the new Robin Amber. So we've taken away the legacy of Robin Amber and replaced it with Adam and Candace.
That is true. And then
and now
John
they
Cody.
Go on The Amazing Race and there's no John Cody. And I don't know if I want to live in a world that doesn't have a John Cody.
Well, let me throw out one other positive to you, Penner. If you or Candace win, as we said, your strategic credit goes through the roof. But specifically, if Candace wins, I think there's a pretty decent chance that her legacy is so great, she actually gets to play three times. And Billy Garcia's fame then shoots through the roof, and he gets 85,000 Twitter followers. I know that's a little crazy and implausible, but I think it's interesting. Do you want to be on the follow train, Rob?
The Adam and Candace thing freaks me out in terms of no John Cody. That's my biggest concern here. So are we saying that a Penner wins, Adam wins, or Candace wins? Tell me who wins.
I think Candace wins.
Candace wins.
I think she's the person who made the flip first. She's the one who had Adam and Penner. I think she's looked at as the dominant strategist of the season.
Penner still comes back for Survivor Fans versus Favorites, correct?
Yes, Penner comes back for Fans versus Favorites, still gets hurt, still comes back in the injured player season.
Does Ozzy still come back in Survivor Fans versus Favorites?
I hope not.
Where does Ozzy go out here?
I think Ozzy goes out eighth in this scenario because that's the only time he doesn't win immunity.
Yeah. I think Ozzy probably still comes back.
It's possible. We can leave it that way for simplicity's sake.
And does Parvati still go on Fans versus Favorites?
Absolutely, because now Parvati finishes in probably fourth place.
Okay. Does Candace still come back for Heroes versus Villains?
Yes.
And she is still a hero?
Yeah, because she mutinied and won the game because of it.
But does Candace still come back in Survivor Blood versus Water?
Yes, because they had no one else to fill the spot.
Who is her loved one?
It's got to be Adam.
You can't have a loved one be Adam in Survivor Blood versus Water.
Okay, then how about she breaks up with Adam and finds John Cody?
Now this is a little fan fiction, I think, because I think that she's gone to all these, you know, I think that once you put them in the finals together, I think we're saying goodbye to John Cody in that scenario. This is a whole butterfly effect of that you're putting her out there in the Amazing Race with Adam.
Yeah, that's not going to be great TV.
Yeah. And she was the alternate. Is there a second alternate?
I think it's Mad Dog again. Mad Dog and Mike Barassi.
You can't have dual loved ones. I actually read on the Survivor Wiki, I think Ashley Underwood was in consideration.
Ew, okay. Well, then maybe we shouldn't go with this scenario.
Yeah. Frank's daughter, Ashley. She's going to go be on there.
Can we have Frank on the show instead?
Now look, my daughter. She's going to be fantastic on Survivor Blood versus Water. Much better than Candace and Adam. So, boy, I mean, is Penner playing in the returning player? He's still there.
Penner's still a huge character. Penner comes back just all the same.
I'm out on this. Why is it better to have this world where Candace is the winner and there's no John Cody and Adam and Candace are on the Amazing Race? We're not even getting it to where Penner is winning a season. Yule doesn't win a season. No, thank
you're
you.
You're out on this.
I'm out.
All right. I think it was worth a try, but I can see your rationale.
I would say thanks, but no thanks. Good day, sir.
Okay, where are we now?
Oh my God, we are in Survivor 18 Token Chains.
Oh, okay. What's going on over here?
It's the final three.
Ooh.
And you are Stephen Fishback.
Oh boy.
And you are chasing these balls around this monorail track, trying to grab them, put them back in so you can beat JT.
Okay.
And the ball comes shooting out and you bobble it, but this time you have the opportunity to catch it.
Okay.
Do you catch it?
And then what happens? Then I'm going to beat JT?
No, you're not going. Well, you're going to beat JT in the challenge and then you're going to vote JT out of the game.
Yeah.
And that means you, Steven, win Survivor Token Chains.
Steven's the best. Know-it-all. Turns out love isn't that good at all. Steven's the best. Know-it-all.
All right, we'll see. We'll see. All right, all right. Steven, congratulations, is the winner of Survivor Token Chains. Who comes back for Survivor Heroes versus Villains?
JT still comes back, but JT is not the huge target trying to play a villainous role.
So what do they say? Yeah. Do they say Steven is like a boring winner? Is that what they say?
I would never say that.
Is that what the word is on the street?
I think that's the word on the street, but I would never say
so
that.
So they snub him for Heroes versus Villains. Like, oh, we can't bring back Steven and JT. So yes. Let's just bring back JT. He's more popular.
JT gets the sympathetic bubble boy edit, just like, I don't know, someone that I'm talking to. And I think he is
looked at. Bubble boy edit.
Yeah, the bubble boy at it.
Like the moops?
No. No, he gets the I was one spot short edit.
Yeah.
And he's looked at as this sympathetic character who is still incredibly likable.
Okay.
All right. He comes back on Heroes versus Villains.
Yes. So then, how does that go in Heroes versus Villains with JT not the target?
I think that because JT has this more positive outlook and he's trying to do everything he can to win, but in an honest way, he feels he doesn't have to change his stripes.
Yeah, and he's sort of like, oh, hell, if I just could have won that last challenge, I would have won that game. I played the game so good. Like, I was almost there if I would have just won that one challenge.
Exactly. So I think then in the scenario, he probably doesn't feel the need to give Russell Hance his idol.
Okay.
And that changes a lot of things.
That changes a lot of things because now Parvati only has one idol and she gives that first idol to who? Jerry or Sandra?
She gives the first one to Sandra.
And so then ends up in what? A 5-5 deadlock?
Yes. And we are drawing rocks.
We're going to draw rocks.
Unless Sandra flips her vote as she wanted to do.
Flips her vote. Anybody but me. And Sandra flips over.
Sandra flips.
And then who goes out? It's Jerry. Jerry gets voted out.
Jerry's out.
Jerry gets voted out. Wow. So then does Sandra actually get to vote though? No, okay. So the votes would be what? 5 votes on Jerry and 5 votes on JT?
Yes.
Okay. So Sandra would get to vote on the revote and then she gets voted out. And then do all of the villains get voted out? Bang, 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 bang.
Pagonging? Absolutely.
Okay. So here we go. Final five. Then it's JT, Colby, Rupert, Amanda, and Candace. Who wins the season?
I hate to say it, but I think it's got to be JT.
JT wins Heroes versus Villains.
Yes.
Because he gets it down. He bros down with Colby and Rupert.
Yes. I think as much as we've sort of changed his future before, it seems very obvious to me that once he gets there in the final five, he probably does extremely well in those last two immunity challenges I think he bros down with Rupert and Colby, and they are your final three.
Let me just back you up a little bit. Now, does JT, if we're taking away this sort of chip on his shoulder of like, I got to play a different game this time because I got to be crazy. So does he switch his vote and get rid of Suri?
Yes.
He still does all that.
He's smart enough to know that Suri is still a huge threat.
Okay. So that being said, JT is the winner of Heroes vs. Villains. Again, we're messing with Heroes vs. Villains, which I don't want to do because I think it's fine as it is. It's great as it is. Now, JT is the winner of Heroes vs. Villains. How does this change everything else?
I think it makes Heroes vs. Villains an even better season.
It makes it a better season.
JT wins.
Okay, but it was then really boring after that.
Well, that's true. But JT wins. And Steven wins.
Okay.
How is this not the greatest scenario ever?
This is a very boring last 8 or 9 episodes of Survivor Heroes versus Villains.
Well, let me change one other thing.
Where JT, Rupert, and Colby take it down to the final three.
Well, think about this, though. Russell Hance was a very popular character in Samoa, and he comes back, and now he's on the wrong side of the numbers because of this flip by Sandra.
Oh, beloved.
He is beloved, and he comes back in Survivor 22 as a huge fan favorite, and Boston Rob is still looked at as the bigger villain between the two of them.
I don't think you would get a Rob versus Russell season out of that, though.
I'm trying not to change things too much, but you're probably right.
But I think that Russell Hance does come off more positively. Does JT still come off as the beloved winner?
I think so, because of the people he goes to the end with. Again, we're talking about the fact that many of the people that are watching this week to week wanted the heroes to win. Mm-hmm. So I think the fact that the three quote-unquote good guys all got to the end would be very appealing to a large majority of the audience.
Boy, Colby is going to lose in the final three again?
Yes, unfortunately.
Now, you don't think Amanda goes on an immunity run in here, do you?
I don't think I'm allowed to comment.
Yeah, I don't know why this is better. I mean, I'm happy for Steven. Does he do the Survivor Know-It-Alls though now?
Yeah, of course he does. He loves you.
He still does? I feel like now he's a winner and he's like, oh, I'm too cool to talk to you. He's almost like that now and he didn't even win.
I don't think Steven ever assumes that he is the cool guy. So I don't think we have
I think
to
he does when he talks to me. So I feel like maybe he's going to be too much of an elitist kind of guy. And now he's not back on second chances, right?
He's not back on second chances because he's won the game.
So who got his spot?
I think Jim Rice. Shane Powers.
Boy.
This is really all in an effort to get Jim Rice and or Shane Powers back on Survivor.
And who hosts Survivor Know-It-Alls with me? Still Jim Rice?
Yeah, that'll work. Jim Rice.
Jim Rice is the Survivor Know-It-All?
Boy. Or Colby.
Yeah. You're messing up Heroes versus Villains. Steven's not on Survivor Second Chance. He won the million in token genes. I guess that's good for Steven. But I don't really know why we're changing this that much.
The world is a better place.
You know, you're making JT win Heroes versus Villains, but you're taking away his million from token genes.
Right, we're giving Sandra's $1 million to Steven.
One of her $1 million to Steven.
Yes, excuse me.
No, I think things were fine as they were.
All right.
I think we leave it alone.
What I've learned is that we can't tinker with Heroes versus Villains in any way.
Well, we did when we made Lex be on instead of Boston Rob.
It's a minor tinkering, but yes.
But I think that there's still going to be a lot of intrigue there. I like the idea of Randy going far in that season.
Yes, and we need more Randy.
I think that would be interesting. So I'm not going to touch that.
What if we made Randy win instead of JT? I think then that's...
There's no scenario where that happens.
How dare you?
I don't see it.
All right.
All right. Before we get to our next quantum leap, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, another friend over at PokerStars, because like all of the great Survivor poker players, like Jean Robert and Boston Rob and Garrett Adelstein, You could be a fantastic poker winner playing PokerStars with the best play money poker software in the world on desktop and mobile. Very excited. We're going to have our big RHAP game on PokerStars coming up on Saturday, September 12th. They've got the biggest selection of poker games anywhere. No Limit Hold'em, Stud, Draw, and all sorts of variants, including Fast Fold, Zoom Poker, and Jackpot Spin and Go. That's like what we're doing. That's like a spin and going from one season to the next, Kaz.
It's great. And what is this poker thing? I haven't heard of it before.
People can play for free for as long as they want with no charge. And if they want to jump to higher stakes games on PokerStars or special promotional events, they can buy extra chips for just a few dollars. They've got a great roster of all sorts of famous poker players. You could play against them online. For the super competitive players out there, they've got the Billionaire Club, which is a VIP program for people that are able to turn their million chips into a billion chips. So you'll be no need to look back into history if you can do that, because you could start out with 1,000 chips, but signups via Robinson Podcast are going to get 1 million chips, just like JT would have gotten if you won Heroes versus Villains to play with. Those chips will be credited within 24 hours. So sign up today at PokerStars.net/RHAP. That's PokerStars.net/RHAP. And don't forget about our free game on PokerStars that we're playing on September 12th, Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific. All right, Kaz, where are we going next? We ready to leap out of here?
I think first I got to throw out a couple thank yous to the people who came up with this idea for me. I am a horribly uncreative person, so I needed to reach out to some patrons. I want to thank Chris from Commerce, Texas for coming up with this idea. He had the Quantum Leap thing, 100% of the credit, so please thank Chris. Also, people who did research for me, I got to thank Angie Kontz and the two great Kims, Kimmy Megan and Kim Kyung-hoon. So thank you so much. And now I think before we jump into it, I wanted to run by you real quick a couple of the honorable mentions that I wanted to change, but I wasn't sure they changed history enough and not for the better.
Okay, go for
it. The first one, of course, it's got to be Alex doesn't tell you his plan, and he doesn't tell you he's not going to vote you out. I don't know what happens from there. It probably still doesn't result in you winning the game, so I wasn't really concerned with it.
Yeah. We only want to talk about things where I win the game.
No. Bangarang, though, right?
Bangarang. Yeah, I probably end up going out in fourth place in that scenario.
That's fine.
Probably.
I really wanted to come up with a scenario where, and this is a big one, that's why I didn't do it, but I wanted to save Wanda, who sung you a song. I think she sang many of us many melodies, but I wish we could have saved the Diddy God. Unfortunately, it's just not in the cards. Too much would go into it. I think Eric and Brandon Hans keeping their necklaces would have been interesting things. Unfortunately, I don't think the winners change much in those scenarios, but they are fun things to look back at.
I think the Brandon Hans thing probably changes it the most. I think Eric probably gets voted out at the next tribal council. I mean, it was still final five in Micronesia. It's going all the way down to a final two. So there's still two more votes that are going to come in between then to get down to the final four, the final three, and ultimately the final two. So is it three more tribal councils? No, it's 5 into 4. And then 4 into 3 and 3 into 2. So two more votes are going to be coming up. Eric's going to get voted out before that. I don't think he's going to win out with the immunities. But for Brandon Hans, that he's at the final five, and that's the first final five in that season. Somebody's going to come back from Redemption Island. But if he has immunity there, he's only got to get through then, I guess also two more votes. But he's very highly regarded in that tribe. And then the person who's going to get voted out there, I think it's going to be Rick gets voted out.
I think it's got to be Brandon Hans still. If we actually believe that the Sophie Clark feeling of that Brandon Hans would have won, I think he would have been a bigger threat than Rick. It would have voted him out.
But at that tribal council when he gave the necklace away.
Yeah, it would have been Albert going home.
Albert goes home? Okay.
Yes. So then Rick replaces Albert in the finals and he doesn't win either.
Okay.
I think the fun one that I couldn't work out to change history too much, but it's the final 11 of Samoa. They take Monica Padilla's idea, and instead of voting for Russell, they vote for Natalie. Russell plays his idol, doesn't work. Natalie goes home. The Fofoas get knocked off. Galoo ends up running the game. I think Brett probably wins in that scenario, and that is super boring, so we don't want that.
Yeah,
I was going to try to change Survivor One World.
By the way, I think it does get Shane Powers on Heroes versus Villains. Russell probably still gets on.
That's true, but maybe not as... I think he might get on a future season instead of Heroes versus Villains. But
interesting.
We can't touch heroes versus villains, apparently. I was going to try to find something in Survivor One World, and then I realized Kim won that 100% of the time as soon as she stepped out there, so I didn't even bother. And then the other one is Tyson drawing the white rock. I think, you know, you've talked about this on your podcast a million times, what happens. I think it's Hayden winning the season pretty much every time.
Oh, see, I feel like it's different because I feel like, you know, Tyson could potentially come back from Redemption Island. So
he comes back. He comes back for sure. And he makes the finals, but he loses to Hayden.
Okay. Yeah, if Hayden's there, it's tough for Tyson to beat him.
And I think it's actually a good thing for Hayden that Tyson is there because then it's an easier target for him. That way he doesn't look like a target. I think Hayden wins pretty much all the time. Then he's looked at as this incredibly elite guy, which he already should. But somebody who won both shows, I think the crossover thing then becomes a bigger target. Natalie Anderson probably doesn't win season 29, but we don't want that.
But Hayden proposes to Kat at the finale. He pulls a full Murphy.
I don't think so. But the scary thing is then Tyson doesn't get on marriage boot camp and there's no spice an hour.
Oh,
so
can't have that. F that noise.
Yeah. Can't have that.
Okay. All right. Are we ready for the next leap?
I think so.
All right, here we go. All right, where are we now?
I think we are at the final 12 of Survivor South Pacific.
Ooh.
And you are John Cochran.
Oh, boy.
You have the choice to decide if you want to flip your vote or if you want to draw rocks with your team.
Hmm.
So, do you take your sort of rightful spot in Survivor history as the icon of betrayal, or do you draw rocks and hope that things work out best for you?
Now, things really change up if we're going to do this, because potentially we are going to call into question, is Cochran going to come back for Survivor Karamoan? Do we jeopardize Cochran's all-star appearance if he pulls the white rock?
No.
He's a lock automatically. Who gets the rock? So. Who pulls the rock?
Well, I think the fact that they had two immunity necklaces on their side, or one plus the immunity idol, I think it makes it very likely that somebody from the other side goes out. And I'm going to say, let's just put it out there, it's God's judgment that Coach is the one who gets the white rock.
Well, I don't like that very much at all.
I don't either, but again, even though he is my favorite Survivor of all time, not the most entertaining Coach experience in that season.
All right, so Coach gets voted up. Boy, I really cut the head off the dragon there.
Unfortunately. All right. I'm sorry, Coach. I still love you.
So how does this season play out then?
I think it plays out in a pretty similar but reverse fashion. So I think you've got the same group that, you know, the Sabai Six runs it down along with one other spare person. I don't think it really even matters who that is, but I think you've got Ozzy, Keith, and Whitney on one side. You've got Cochran, Jim, and Dawn on the other side. And I think Jim Rice is smart enough to realize he needs the swing vote at that final seven. I think he ends up taking that swing vote very far along with himself and Cochran and Dawn.
Yeah, who's that swing vote?
I don't think it really matters, to be perfectly honest. I think whoever it is ends up getting disposed of. Basically, the final four ends up being Cochran, Jim, Dawn, and the Redemption Island returnee, which of course is Ozzy. Because nobody's going to beat Ozzy in a challenge.
Well, when did Ozzy get voted out?
Some other time before that.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's very obvious to me that Jim is the one who's going to control all the pieces and his alliance is going to go deep. So I think Ozzy probably goes out sixth or seventh,
yeah,
goes to Redemption Island, but he's going to come back.
Right. And then he's going to win the Final Four challenge.
He will, because the Final Four challenge, you know, it's something that Sophie beat him at. I don't think any of Jim, Cochran, or Dawn are going to beat him at it.
However, now we have all Upolu on the jury.
Yes.
And they're not going to want to vote for Ozzy because they're going to be bitter.
Absolutely.
So they're going to vote for who?
I think they have to vote Dawn out at the final four. I think that's very clear. She's sympathetic, even though she was a goat later on. I don't think she's a goat at all in this season. I think she's the very obvious Holly Hoffman final four kind of boot.
So it's now Ozzy, Jim Rice, and Cochran in the final three?
Yes.
And you think Cochran wins South Pacific?
No, I think Jim is the one who gains victory with his creative solutions. Ozzy has no friends. Cochran's the dweeb who was his lackey. Jim Rice is your season 23 winner.
Not sure if Jim Rice is winning out in that scenario. I'm not sure how much the Upolu tribe is going to love Jim Rice.
I think they could very much love him. I think Jim Rice is a super.
You see him as a Sophie on the other side.
No, I see him as a dominant strategist, and I think they're definitely not voting for Ozzy, and Cochran would have been just sitting there with Jim Rice a lot of the time. I think Jim Rice gets certainly the Keith and Whitney votes. I think he picks up probably Dawn as well, even though she was close to Cochran. I think he gets a lot of respect votes. I tend to think Coach is somebody who's going to be fairly rational on the jury, which is hard to believe. But yeah, I think Jim Rice does very well there.
So Jim Rice wins South Pacific.
Yes.
Cochran's still coming back for Karamoan.
He does, but I think the fact that he is now a finalist maybe makes him a bigger target. And certainly with him and Dawn making the final four together, it makes both of them a bigger target. I kind of wonder if Andrea and Brenda move up the food chain there.
So who wins Karamoan?
Andrea Belkey.
Andrea wins Karamoan. Wow. Well, this is interesting.
You know, I had to wedge that in somehow. No, I think she does win, honestly, in this scenario.
Okay. And Sophie is not a winner. She's like an eighth place person. Is she in the mix for Survivor Second Chance? Does she take the Jim Rice spot?
Well, she takes somebody else's
spot. Michaela's
spot. Probably the Kelly Wentworth spot, or unfortunately, which we don't want that. But I think she probably steals a spot from somebody like her or PG. I think she's definitely a big character, or at least fairly big. And I think she ultimately does get a chance to play again.
You think she gets voted in because South Pacific was a tough spot for people to get voted back in from?
It is, but I think Sophie's got a lot of personality and she's a blast, and I think people would see that.
I don't know. I think we're talking about like eighth place Sophie Clark. If you go back and watch Sophie's season, she really doesn't have a lot of airtime until it gets towards the end, and that's on a winner edit. I think that Sophie is kind of invisible. I don't think that eighth place Sophie Clark gets voted into Second Chance.
I think that maybe they were hiding a little bit of what she did, and I think the snarkiness comes out if she's in the minority, and she actually kind of plays the prickly Jim Rice sort of role and like is antagonistic towards the other tribe. And I think that probably endears her as the underdog in that scenario. I think we see a lot more of her wit come through on the show in that scenario. And so I do think she comes back, but maybe I'm wrong.
You came close to getting the fan fiction buzzer on that one.
I understand.
But this whole exercise is fan fiction, so it doesn't matter.
Of course.
Okay, so
the other interesting thing, if you're Cochran, you know, since we are taking this from Cochran's point of view, this is not going to be better for you, because rather than riding on the Millers, taking Ubers around LA with all your money,
right,
you're going to be looked at as too young for, you know, writing, and instead you spend your post-law school days eating fucking pumpkins and playing StarCraft in your mom's basement. So it's probably not better for you, but I think it is interesting on the whole.
Yeah, boy. Cochran doesn't win Karamoan. Andrew wins Karamoan. And what does that look like? Does she get a job on the Millers?
I think so. Or she gets some sort of TV job. I think she definitely comes back and plays again.
So she gets a part acting on the Millers in this sort of like, you know, this is like you change one thing, but it all sort of stays the same. So Andrea's like, yeah, you know, the one thing I really wanted to do is act. And so they put Andrea on the Millers. It becomes a huge hit. Andrea becomes a major TV star.
Yes.
Hmm.
And Cochran, who is self-deprecating, and I think he can find, you know, negatives in anything, looks at it as, yes, I've given up all of my goodness to Andrea in this scenario.
Yeah.
Is he willing to do that,
though? I don't like this. I feel like South Pacific was fine how it was with Sophie winning. I'm not sure that the Jim Rice South Pacific, I'm sure it would be a little more exciting, but
it's a lot more exciting with Jim Rice.
It's a lot more exciting. I'm not sure.
And
Karamoan's
not a great season either.
It's exciting after the merge, and now you're taking that away. And so I think that I'm out on this. Leave it alone.
I'm sorry, Jim Rice. I tried, buddy.
Yeah. Does Cochran open up a marijuana dispensary?
I can't picture that now.
Okay. All right. We have one last leap, the leap home.
We do have one last leap home, and I've saved the best for last.
Okay. All right, here we go. Let's wait. What's happening? All right. Where am I?
We're going to change things up this time because you are in the future now.
Ooh. How did this happen?
We know what the result is. So I'm going to tell you the result, and then we're going to figure out how you got there.
Okay.
And we're going to decide if this is a good scenario for Survivor. So everyone knows that I am the biggest Amanda Kimmel fan in the world.
Super fan.
She's come in second place, what, 22 times or something like that. I say, screw that. Let's make Amanda a three-time Survivor winner.
Okay.
How are we going to do this? I've come up with the way. Let's go back to season 12, Exile Island. You are the astronaut, Dan. One of the greatest Dans in Survivor history, I believe.
Sure.
And you are working on this puzzle. Your team has to have this immunity challenge to go into the merge with even numbers.
It's a 2v2 puzzle, I believe.
Yes. But you are the guy because you're the brilliant guy, the astronaut. We're resting it all on your shoulders. And in this scenario, you pull it off. You guys win. Lamina, Rob, Sister Neil's favorite tribe in Survivor history, makes it. They've made it to the merge 5-5.
Oh, boy.
On the other side, they want Terry out, right? That he's the big threat.
Yes.
So they vote for him. But Terry has immunity idol, and he plays it. And who does Terry vote for along with his whole team?
Okay, so Terry plays the idol and Aris goes out.
Yes.
Okay.
And then I think it's a pretty clear pagonging from there. So the Lamina 5 were very tight and very boring, as we all know. And one of my absolute favorite players of all time, Austin Carty, I think wins this season pretty much all the time because he's tight with everybody. He's got great relationships.
Of course he does.
He's great. We love Austin Carty.
Okay.
I do, at least. Austin is your winner. That means, though, that Ceri is an early boot. She's out 8th or 9th. She never returns. So let's keep that in mind.
Okay.
We're going to go to China. Amanda Kimmel's first season. James plays one of his two idols at the final 7.
Why? How did he do that?
He knows.
He knew?
He figures out, I've only got 3 votes to use these. Why wouldn't I use one of my two idols?
Right, but what does that have to do with me, Dan the astronaut?
Well, now we're trying to make Amanda Kimmel win.
Okay.
So these are many scenarios that all group together in this.
Okay.
So he plays his idol. PG goes out because she had 1 vote and Todd had 1 vote. PG goes out on the revote. James is mad at Todd for voting for him. He takes Todd out using his other idol, leverages it. Suddenly, here we are. Amanda Kimmel leads her own little alliance that includes James. She gets to the finals and she wins.
Okay.
Fans versus favorites. We establish.
Okay.
Am I losing you?
Well, there were no winners on fans versus favorites.
I know. I'm giving you the scenario.
We're changing the rules.
Yes.
Okay.
So now, Ceri is not on the season.
That's right.
So Amanda is now in the final 3, wins the challenge, takes Natalie. She wins. Nobody knows that she's already won China as well.
Yes.
Now she has 2 wins.
Not even production.
I don't think they care.
Okay.
They want Amanda Kimmel to win as much as we do. We don't care that she shouldn't be on the season. We want her to win 3 times, Rob.
Okay.
Heroes versus villains. Amanda is a 2-time winner. Of course, she has to be back. Candace doesn't flip at the final 9, right?
Yeah, but why is Amanda winning this season suddenly just because Ceri isn't there? Ceri was out at 3. Amanda made it further than Ceri in fans versus favorites.
Rob, I'm trying to make up with Amanda Kimmel.
Okay.
Candace doesn't flip in heroes versus villains. That means the heroes plus Sandra take control. Amanda's in great shape from there. She comes into the final tribal council, already having 2 wins under her belt. She gets up in front of the jury and has all the confidence in the world, all the things she lacked before.
Okay.
She gets up there and she says, I deserve to win this game a 3rd time.
Right.
How could you not give it to her a 3rd time?
So you're saying that the reason why Amanda is not great in the Micronesia Final Tribal Council is a confidence issue. But if she doesn't go up against Todd the first time around, you're saying that she will have much more confidence and then she'll be confident in the second one. And then the 3rd time, it'll be like, I am a 2-time winner of this game. Like, you should have gotten rid of me. Like, you should have taken me out, but you didn't. And I'm here and I deserve to win for a 3rd time because you knew what I could do and you didn't stop me.
Absolutely. She's brimming with confidence. And how could you not give her the $1 million yet again? 3-time Survivor winner, Amanda Kimmel. wait, no, this is terrible. I don't like Amanda. I don't want her to win. Let's scratch this idea.
I don't know why I had to be Dan, because I don't think that Sari changes anything about fans versus favorites.
It all relies on the puzzle and having Sari out before then, because
I should have been James and then played my idol at Final Seven Tribal Council to get the ball rolling.
You're James.
Yes.
I did my best to make up to Amanda here. You know, this is the best I can do is to make her a fan.
I'm sure she's listening. And then, okay. No, I'm not going to touch that. I'm going to leave it alone.
All right. I agree. I don't want her winning, actually. And I think the universe is better the way it is. I'm sorry that Amanda has never won Survivor, but I think we should not touch this.
Oh, I'm back. I'm back.
Oh.
Oh, wait, now I'm back to me right before we started this podcast. Oh, wait.
And you're thinking, should I record this or should I trash it immediately?
Hold on, should I do this podcast or not? I don't know. What do you think? What happens if I don't do it?
The eight ball is showing all signs point to no.
What happens if I do it?
Then you waste thousands of people's time.
Oh, no. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Okay. So, Kaz, this was a very fun journey through history.
Yes.
What did it change? We just made that Lex didn't save Amber?
Yes, what I didn't realize before this is that you refuse to change anything that has to do with heroes versus villains, so I don't think we changed anything but that. Basically, Lex is Boston Rob and everything else is perfect the way it is, and you know what? I don't disagree with you.
The moral of the story, I believe in time travel, is that you change one thing, you change everything, it creates all sorts of other problems, unless we can prove definitively that something will be much better. And I'm not even sure if it's much better when we change Survivor All-Stars. I'm basically in it because I think that'll be fun to see Randy go further into heroes versus villains. But unless we're doing something really great like that, then I think we should leave the space-time continuum alone.
I have to agree with you. Survivor is great the way it is. We've made it now 32 seasons and more counting in the future. I think it's been incredibly entertaining. It's given you a job podcasting. Why would we want to change any of that?
I think so. I'm happy.
I'm happy too.
All right. Kaz Kozdrowski, what a great birthday today this was.
Yes. Well, I'm sure that I will get roasted in your comments section. So if you agree or disagree with anything I said, probably disagree with everything I said. I'll be hiding under a table somewhere, but I'll probably read your comments and not comment on them. Feel free to roast me. Just go easy on me if you can.
All right. What's the hashtag for this podcast?
Wow.
I think in a true Quantum Leap fashion, I think that we have to make the hashtag, oh boy.
Oh boy. I think that's perfect. Not oh boy, Amanda Kimmel's a three-time winner.
If you want to do oh boy, Amanda Kimmel's a three-time winner, you could do that as well.
Nobody's going to want to do that.
Yes. All right, Kaz. On Twitter, you could follow Kaz. He is at I am the Kaz, correct?
That is correct.
That's I am the KOS. Happy damn birthday. Looking forward to seeing your comments here on robhasawebsite.com. We've got a lot more to do as we continue the march to season 31. No quantum leaping yet. We can't go that far into the future, but we have plenty more to come here on robhaswebsite.com. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, robhaswebsite.com/iTunes. We always appreciate it when you leave us your feedback and star ratings on our iTunes page. We are continuing the march towards 1,000 ratings on iTunes. That's at robhaswebsite.com/iTunes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Thanks, Kaz. This was a lot of fun. Thanks, everybody, that also helped with coming up with all these ideas. And we'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye.